Hey, Mama. So today's interview is such an exciting one because I got to sit down to chat with one of my favorite business owners, Cami Wilkie. Cami is such an inspiration and she has so much wisdom and insight into building a successful online coaching business. Now, even though I am not a huge fan of Instagram, I do love the insights that Cami gives into how she's really been able to leverage Instagram to build her online coaching business. So I'm excited for you guys to learn from her today. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Hey, Mama. Are you tired of feeling stressed and overwhelmed trying to grow your online business with your babies at home? You desire more flexibility in your day, allowing you to pour into your family, yourself, and your business without running yourself into the ground. Mama, you can build your dream business and do it in a way that fits your current season of life. And I'm going to show you exactly how. Welcome to the Mama Turn Mompreneur podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Singletary, daughter of the king, wife, mama of two, and life and business coach for mompreneurs. On this podcast, you will learn business strategies made for mamas just like you, who desire to be successful CEOs and fully present mamas without stress or overwhelm. So whether you're an entrepreneur who transitioned to a mompreneur or a mama turned mompreneur, I am here to support you. So grab your coffee, notebook, and pen, put in those earbuds, and let's dig in. All right, today on the Mama Turn Mompreneur podcast, I am sitting down to chat with a very special guest. I'm interviewing Cami Wilkie, and I am so excited to talk with her. We have been following each other on Instagram for some time, and she's like one of my favorite people to follow. She is so inspiring. So Cami, welcome to the show. Please tell us about yourself, who you are, what you do, and all about your family.
Hey, Andrea, thanks for having me. And what a great intro. I feel so loved. Those were some words of affirmation. Thank you. So hello, my name is Cami Wilkie. I am a high ticket sales coach, and my mission in my business is to help entry level coaches really get their business off the ground, learn how to get more clients so they can start to close those 5K to 10K months in their business. And to do that, we really focus on high ticket sales strategy. We use Instagram and I'm going to be infusing even a little bit more neuroscience and negotiation tactics into my formula here pretty soon. But all in a nutshell, my goal is to help coaches get their business off the ground. And so from a business perspective, that's who I am. That's my mission here in the online space. I am also a wife. I am a very soon to be mom. I'm about to give birth to my first baby in a little less than 10 weeks. She is such a blessing, a miracle baby. We've been trying for 4 years, and the Lord has been so faithful in his promise. And so I'm so excited to get to experience one of the things, which is why I really started the business in the first place, which was to get to experience a season of being a stay-at-home mom. And so I'm grateful to get to walk into that season soon.
Yes. And I am so excited for you. Your journey has been such an inspiration to myself, and I know so many others. And we are definitely going to be talking about Little Miss Ma'am in a bit. But to get this conversation started, talk to us about high ticket sales. I would love to know for you, like, what do you consider to be high ticket sales?
Absolutely. So what I consider to be high ticket for me, per Cami's definition, is an offer or a coaching program that is priced at $2,000 or more. Now, you may find other people with different definitions in the online space, and that's cool. In my world, it's $2,000 or more. And I really love a high ticket sales space for a coach to begin at for a few reasons. I won't go into all of them. It's quite a long list. However, the first one is that a lot of times when we're starting a coaching business, we don't have the volume of audience that someday we will have. You know, we may have a couple hundred followers, and of those couple hundred followers, maybe only 15 of them are actually ideal clients. Like, we're not starting out with this abundance of people in our audience. And so if we're wanting to get to that place of starting to bring in those 5K months, and I really focus in on that 5K mark, because that seems to be the place where it gets people out of a panic mode, where they're like, okay, my business is making some money. Yes, I want it to grow, but it gets them out of that fight or flight state of mind. And if I can help somebody bring in 5K in their business, at least 5K, it'll help them transition out of scarcity, which allows them to focus in on growth and abundance, because it's pretty hard to like scale a business if we're hyper-focusing on scarcity. So with that being said, if we're selling an offer for, let's say, $2,500, I only have to sign two clients in order to close 5K. Where if I'm selling like a $200 offer, you know, I got to sign a lot more clients in order to hit 5K. And then next month, I got to turn around and do it again. So that is one of the reasons why I like the high ticket sales space for new entry level coaches who are really looking to get to those first 5K months and just start getting cash flow into their business.
I love that. Kind of like continuing with that conversation, what really goes into, you know, pricing an offer as high ticket? And we can even talk about, because I know you're big on like neuroscience and everything, because I know it is a mindset thing when it comes to pricing your offers higher. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I'll start with the kind of just some very basic numbers and strategies that I use with my clients. And then we can kind of go into the mindset piece of it. So when a coach is coming to me and we're creating what I call their irresistible high ticket offer, our goal is to create an offer that when they showcase it to a client, the client is just like blown away by it in the best way. And that the value of the offer is at least, and this comes from, one of the leaders in the coaching space, Russell Brunson, you know, the value of what we're offering is 10 times higher than the actual price tag. That's one way that we can make sure we're staying in integrity and not like putting lipstick on a pig, if you will, of like trying to dress something up, that really isn't that great. So we want, first off, the value to be at least 10 times higher than the price tag. That's one thing that we look at. Another thing that we look at is how many hours am I committing when I sign this client? Like how many hours am I on Zoom? How many hours am I in Voxer? Because a lot of my clients are moms. Then we have to be really cautious and aware of our time. Time is one of those things that we never get back. And so sometimes what will happen is a coach will be like, well, you know, I'm selling my offer for $1,000 and it's a 3-month program. But when we break down how many hours they're actually focusing in with that client, like they end up finding out that they're charging like $30 an hour. And essentially what happens sometimes is coaches will unknowingly recreate a 9-to-5 job for themselves in their business, when really one of the things that they wanted was time freedom. And so we really have to shift that mindset. And so what we do is we understand how many hours you're committing to your client. We make sure that that's optimized so that we're not spending more hours than we have to, but we're not also not underserving or undersupporting. And then my clients never charge less than $100 an hour, which out in the work field and the corporate space, you know, if you're making $100 an hour, like, I mean, you have a pretty darn good job. And somebody was like, well, why would anybody pay me $100 an hour? Well, friend, realize that like the time that you're on a coaching call is not the only time that you're working in your business. Like you need to be paid for when you're creating content. You need to be paid for when you are responding to DMs. Like you have to cover, otherwise you're only getting paid for actual coaching, which yes, is part of it. And we want to have those services, but we really want to avoid getting in a situation where like we're working 80 hours a week. And then when we reverse engineer how much we're making per hour, it's like $12. Like we have to avoid that. And then the last number that I really use with my clients to make sure that they're making a really good profit is making sure that when they sell a coaching package, they're making a minimum of an 85% net profit. That means like if you're going to give a client gift, if you are utilizing a guest expert to come in and increase the value of your program, you should be able to walk away from that package in your pocket at least 85% of whatever the price tag was on that offer. Now, things get a little different when you start getting into like group coaching and courses and like more complex offers. But if we're talking about high ticket one-on-one coaching, which is like one of the lowest overhead costs coaching, because like literally what do you need other than Zoom? Like, I don't know what else a person would need. You should be pocketing, which again, helps you to get to that 5K cash month faster and gets you out of that fight or flight standpoint so you can start focusing on scaling.
I absolutely love all of that and how you really broke down the pricing piece, because it's so true. Like, it's more than just coaching. There are other things you are doing to run this business that you're pouring into this business. And so really making sure that you are getting paid for all the time that you're putting into your business. But even too, like something I, you know, kind of remind my clients of too, is like the different software and programs you are using. So if you're paying for Zoom, you know, different things like that, you have to take that into consideration with your pricing and everything, because it's going to have to be paid either way. So you want to make sure you are making that profit. And so kind of just sticking with pricing a little bit. So like one aspect of selling a offer that is high ticket is having that irresistible offer like you just shared about. And so tell me, what makes an irresistible offer? Like, how can you know that the offer you're creating for your potential clients is going to be irresistible to them?
Yeah, really great question. So one thing that is, I would say, a humbling fact about the online coaching space, and I really am trying to say this from a kind spot, because it was me, is that most coaches have average offers. Now, again, somebody might be like, Cammie, like, this is my baby. Like, I feel wounded by that statement. Friend, I'm not trying to make you feel wounded. What I am trying to say, though, is that if I were to line up 10 fitness coaches and say, hey, show me your one-on-one coaching package, pretty much they're all going to be about the same, right? We're going to have an exercise program in there. We're going to have like a nutrition program in there, which is good. We need those things. But like, what else can you wow me with? What else can you wow me with that Sally Sue down the street isn't also offering to me? Because we kind of get into these bidding wars, if you will, where like somebody will be shopping around for a coach. And if everybody's basically offering the same thing, then what is stopping me from just going towards the least expensive package? Like, nothing, right? And it's kind of like that Walmart phenomenon where if we guarantee like the lowest prices, okay, yes, you might sign more clients, but your profit margins are also going to be like itty bitty, which is like a recipe for burnout. So one of the things that creates an irresistible offer is a guarantee. Now, that usually sends people running for the hills. And I hear you, because it made me panic when I heard about a guarantee as well. However, I started realizing that there was a way, a very ethical and like integrity way, to offer a guarantee to a client that doesn't put me at financial risk, but also protects the investment that the client's making. Because we have to think about it for a second. If I'm asking somebody to sign a contract and guarantee that they're going to pay me, assuming that they do everything I ask them, shouldn't I be able to guarantee them something? Okay. I'm not saying guarantee them the moon and the stars and the world, but they should be able to walk away with some sort of result. And so that is something that we could probably go down like a rabbit hole with that conversation, but there's something that should be able to be reciprocated. And for a lot of coaches, maybe that guarantee is like, hey, I guarantee that if you follow every step of my program, like you actually show up. Because so many times when people don't get results, it's not because the program isn't great, but somebody put in like 65% effort into it. And so they didn't get the results they were wanting. So if we can say, hey, if you put in 100% effort and you hit these, you know, milestones, I guarantee you'll get XYZ in XYZ amount of time. And if you don't, then blank, blank, blank will happen. Maybe that is, I'll give you an extra month of mentorship, or I'll work with you until you do. Like, it doesn't have to be a refund guarantee, but what it does is it puts us in a position of standing out in the niche, or because like not a lot of people offer guarantees, and it protects the integrity of us and also protects the investment of the client. So that's one way that we can create an irresistible offer. Another way that you can create an irresistible offer is what I call like examining the holes in the bucket. And what that means is when we are trying to take a client from point A to point B, I think of it as like trying to like, you know, we fill this bucket full of water and we take it from one place to another. However, if there are holes in that bucket, you know, obviously the water's going to fall out and the water's not actually going to make it to the destination. And so what we do is we take a really good look at our framework and we ask ourselves, where are the potential roadblocks? Where is it possible for a client to fall off track? Where is like, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Like, where could my person possibly not get the results that they want? Mm-hmm. And when we identify those holes in the bucket, our next question is to ask yourself, am I the right person to fill that hole in the bucket? Is this within my area of expertise? Or if it's not, that's okay. That you can absolutely still sign the client, but can you bring in a guest expert to speak on that one topic? Can you bring in another resource, something that will plug that hole in the bucket and essentially ensure that as long as the client follows the steps, that they're going to get the result? That's another the way that we can create an irresistible offer.
I love that. And it's really just taking that time to really think through your offer, but also kind of putting yourself in the client's shoes. Like, what roadblocks can come up? What can interfere with them actually, you know, achieving the goals and hitting those results and everything? And I kind of want to go back to the guarantee, because like you said, that does make people run for the hills and everything. Mm-hmm. And so for you, when it comes to a new client working with you, do you have like an application process, or like, what is your way of ensuring that they are actually a good fit for your coaching offer?
Yeah, great question. So, we have like what I have in place like right now is essentially somebody fills out an application and we get on a phone call. And on that phone call, not only are we going through the application, but it's an interview. It's an interview call where I'm asking them questions about themselves. I'm asking them questions about their business. And then here's another thing. We're kind of dipping into strategies here a little bit, high ticket strategies, but it actually adds to the conversation is I will then pull up a visual presentation of my program. I was once told back in the day by a mentor, tell people the least amount of information that they need to know in order to say yes. And while I understand the thought process of where they were coming from, I think that that leaves people vulnerable to investing in a program that maybe they weren't fully informed about, and which can lead to disappointment. And so I take a different approach where I actually put all the details together in a visual presentation and I show them everything. Here's everything that you're getting. Here's our curriculum. Here's so that there's no surprises about what it is that they're investing in. And in the midst of our interview, in the midst of the application and the conversation, it really reveals itself. Is my program rather a good fit for this person? Not is the person a good fit for the program, but I kind of just like to flip it around a little bit. Is my program the right fit puzzle piece for what it is that they're looking for? I love sales calls. And I recognize that, you know, as a soon-to-be mom, you know, we can have limited time. So it's something to navigate, especially if somebody is a mompreneur. With that, I think that there are other ways to close high ticket sales. Absolutely. People have successfully done it through DMs, through other types of ways. And I believe the most thorough way, not the only way, but the most thorough way is to be able to actually have a conversation with somebody, see their body language, show them everything about the program, interview them for yourself and decide, is this person going to be set up to succeed in my program or not?
That's good. I really love that process because it allows you to truly vet them out to make sure that they are a good fit. But also, like you said, you know, making sure that they aren't going into this blindly. They have all the information they need to make an informed decision, which it is really important because especially, you know, we've been hearing about in the coaching space, people have been feeling burned by coaches and different things like that. And so when you set up your application process this way and you actually interview the potential clients and you guys are both able to make sure that it is a good fit, that's really going to set them up for success and making sure that they're going into this eyes wide open and making sure they can actually commit to this. Because like you also said, it's like they have to do the work. Like it's not just them paying you and you magically make them hit, you know, 5 to 10K months. It's like, no, there's certain things that they have to do and commit to. So thank you for breaking down that process for us. Okay, we know what it takes to create a irresistible offer, but now we have to actually find the clients, get more clients and everything. And so I know you have kind of like a process or a framework for this, like for getting more clients and launching a successful online coaching business. So what are your 4 steps for this?
Yeah, so I'll kind of I'll give you the zoomed out version. And then if you want to go deeper into the marketing aspect, we absolutely can. So when somebody comes into a coaching world and they start a business, they start specifically coaching business, I really see it as four major steps that they need to take. The first one is they need to be solving a really big, a really painful, and a really in-demand problem if they're going to be selling high ticket. You know, business is all about solving problems. And if I'm going to charge somebody $2,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, then the problem that I'm solving for them has to be more painful than the pain that they feel when they pay me $10,000. It has to be that way in order to justify the price tag. So we really narrow down the problem that we're solving first and making sure, like I said, that it's a big problem, it's an in-demand problem, and it's a painful problem. Mostly because people will buy from a pain point most of the time, not everybody, but our brain has a 9x negativity bias. There's a little bit of neuroscience there. Our brain has a 9x negativity bias, meaning that people will more likely buy to avoid pain rather than to reach a goal. So that's number one. Number two, as we touch on, is the creation of the irresistible offer. And that's the solution to the problem. You're approaching somebody who has a problem and you're approaching them with a solution, and your solution is your program. The third thing then is generating the leads. Now, I'm not saying generating clients quite yet. I'm saying generating leads. We have to have an audience of people, a pool of people that are experiencing the problem that we can kind of shout out from the rooftop saying, hey, I hear you, I see you, I was there, and I have a solution for you. We need to essentially generate a crowd, if you will, of people who are experiencing the problem. And that's the marketing piece that we can go into a little bit more if you would like to. And then lastly, once we have that crowd, once we know where our person is hanging out at, we then need to have a conversion strategy. In other words, a fancy way of saying a sales strategy. How can I get this person to go from a lead into a paying client? And so it's not just the marketing tactic of getting the person into your world. It is that. That's a huge piece of the puzzle. But then it's also like, what is the psychology behind selling them a four-figure price tag program? What goes into that? Because there's a lot that goes into it. There's, like I said, psychology, there's negotiation, and it really is, I view it as an art. Like, mm-hmm. How can I become really, really good at this art of selling something that is four or five figures?
This is really good. Kind of walk us through like a condensed version of this process in action. So like, whether you want to use yourself or one of your clients, like, what does that look like?
Yeah. For the entire four-step process or specifically marketing?
The marketing part. I feel like that's usually where people have the biggest hiccup. Yeah.
Cool. So I'll create kind of like a hypothetical situation. Let's say that Sally was a fitness coach, and I'll use myself because I was back in the day, I started as a fitness coach and I was doing macros and weightlifting for women who wanted to tone up and lose body fat. And so one of the first things I did, even though I didn't necessarily know it at the time, I didn't have a label for it, but essentially now I can look back and I can see exactly what I did. I essentially did an Instagram audit. So statistically, somebody will decide within 7 seconds whether or not they're going to hit follow on your page. From the moment they land on your page, within 7 seconds, they're going to decide. And there's a lot of information that comes into their brain in those 7 seconds, one of which is your Instagram handle, your profile photo, your bio, and the top, your highlights, but then also like the most recent posts that you have. And so what we do is we go in and we make sure that every single part of our profile is aligned to attract that one ideal client and make them want to click the follow button. That's one thing that we do. Another thing that we'd look at is content. And on Instagram, I usually split up content that goes on our feed versus content that goes on our Instagram story, because it's really, in my brain, it's two different fields of mm-hmm. posting, right? So there's that I teach 11 different types of content that I teach students. And I walk them through to kind of give you a couple examples. Some of them might be education. It might be testimonials or client wins. It might be a polarizing. It might be a storytelling. Those are just a few to name. And you can post those types of content on both your story and your grid, but they should be showcased in different ways. So what does it look like to create really eye-catching content? Because again, if we're going to charge somebody $2,000, our content cannot look sloppy. It just can't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to look perfect, but it cannot look like we don't know what we're doing. It has to look polished. It has to look put together. We have to show up looking like we are. I kind of think of it this way. Like if I'm going to go to a 5-star steakhouse restaurant and the waiter shows up in a sweatpants, that's a problem. That's a problem. It has nothing to do with that person's value or worth as a human. It has everything to do with when I see a $58 filet mignon and I look over and I see a sweatpants on the waiter, it feels off. It feels like a lack of integrity. And so we have to create content that is above the average flow. Lastly, my clients learn a DM strategy, which is not, it is not sliding into people's DMs saying, "Hey, I know you've never heard me talk to me before, but we want to buy this thing." Which by the way, like let's give credit where credit's due. The reason why people did cold pitching like that years ago is because at one point it probably worked. I mean, it probably worked back in like 2018 or 2017. I mean, like nobody was getting DMs. And so you kind of felt like a little bit of a celebrity, A, if you had a DM to open, and B, if they wanted you to buy this thing or be a affiliate for this company, right? but it's not that way anymore. And so we have to remember that like it's called social media. And sometimes people get wigged out by people being social on social media, which is just like funny because it's like, what else are we here to do on this platform other than make a connection? And that's really what the DM strategy boils down to, is making a connection rather than forcing a sale. If I can just get this person to be aware that I am alive, I exist, and I have a solution, then let me just make them aware of that. And then I'll give them opportunities to tell me that they want my offer in my stories. When I do a mini training and I post a poll, or in my content, when I talk about a solution to their problem, I don't have to, I mean, yes, sales conversations can unfold in the DMs and it's amazing when they happen, but like, what if we just put on hyperdrive, making people aware that we even exist? And, I partner with a third party company that, helps with this process. They're called Social Growth Co. And they actually help with the Instagram systems to really like pour fuel on the fire when it comes to bringing leads into somebody's business. But other than that, you know, having a free resource, there's lots of strategies, but that's kind of like a little peek into the marketing tactics that we use.
Yeah, I thank you so much for sharing that and just breaking it down and giving us that example. It really makes it clear and just like what that process looks like in action. So now we are going to shift gears a little bit. So as you shared, you are expecting a sweet baby girl who she will most likely be here by the time this episode airs. And so I would love to hear your process for navigating running a business while pregnant, but also how have you been preparing your business for the arrival of little Miss Ma'am, as you so sweetly call her?
Yay. Oh, I like smiling ear to ear. They can't see me, but they could probably hear them smiling anytime I get to talk about this little baby girl. So I'm super grateful for her. She's due in the middle of April. I was very sick. From 6 weeks pregnant to about 22 weeks pregnant, I was doing a lot of the nausea, a lot of the throwing up. I had, however, to kind of give context, we've been praying and working really hard for this baby for about 4 years. And no, there's honestly really nothing that I dislike more than the feeling of nausea. There really is. But, I have been waiting for this girl for so long that I can't say that had a perfect perspective, that I was like, saw it as a privilege to feel sick, but I was so excited for her. I was so excited that I finally had two pink lines, that I had an opportunity to see come to fruition. One of the reasons why I even built this business in the first place is to become a stay-at-home mom. And so, as simple and maybe unhelpful as it sounds, there were many days where I had to just go by the Nike logo of just do it. Like whatever I need to do today, I'm just going to do it. And there were there was a time where, you know, I had to like quickly run off a Zoom call, but like, it's okay. It's okay if it was messy. And people understood, because again, like my audience are moms as well. So they were very graceful, and gracious to me. And when it comes to preparing for my maternity leave, I have four amazing coaches that are going to step in and mentor my students for 4 weeks. And each of them is going to take a week. And really, it's a fantastic opportunity because not only are my clients going to get exposure to people other than me, but they're also going to get, these are people that have expertise in fields that I don't have expertise in. Mm-hmm. And so one of them is niching. One of them is like DM strategy. And I know DM strategy, but this person's going to go deeper. There's another person that's going to go into Christian neuroscience. There's another person that's going to go in and talk about time management and productivity hacks. And so it's an opportunity to get to learn things that are very important to the success of their business, but maybe I don't have, again, as we were talking about an irresistible offer, having a guest come in to like fill a hole in the bucket. And then afterwards, because my clients work with me for 6 months of time, everybody will get an extra month in the program. So it's mm-hmm. it's essentially they're getting an extra month with and some extra guest coaching for no extra cost. And that's really been my maternity leave plan as far as like how the business is going to run. And then my game plan is I'm going to take 4 weeks off. And then when I come back, I'm going to come back, not full swing. I'm not going to focus on like signing clients right away. I'll focus on serving my current clients, really get that handled, like, and make sure that I have a flow and a rhythm, serve the people that have already invested in me. And then once I feel really solid and secure with that, then I'll start to ease back into the marketing, the sales of it. And so I plan to be back in full swing marketing, signing clients, 8 weeks in. But after 4 weeks, I'll start coming back and coaching my own students.
I love that. Just how you really have thought things through. You got that support you needed and you're setting it up in a way so that you can take that time off knowing that your clients are going to be well taken care of, but also having like positioned yourself in a way so that you can take the step back from marketing, you know? So I really love how you've really just set things up in such a beautiful way to support you as you transition into this mompreneur journey now and giving yourself that time to adjust and everything. Because I've heard from many people, the hardest transition is going from entrepreneur to mompreneur, but you've given yourself this buffer and this permission to be able to slow down, take a step back, really, you know, get this mom thing down with a newborn home and then, you know, adjust and slowly ease your way into it. So I think that's so amazing that you've set things up that way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I have some amazing clients. And like I said, like a lot of my audience are moms themselves. And so they've been there. And like I said, that they show me so much grace. And I know that this transition is not going to be perfect. I have the game plan. The game plan sounds great. And the game plan might need to be tossed out the window. So like I'm hanging on to it loosely. I have a plan. I have a strategy. And if it needs a shift, I can do that. My biggest priorities in that season are like, number one, really honing in on this sacred time that I've been longing for 4 years with this little girl, with my husband, and just like, just basking in the blessing that the Lord has allowed us to experience this. Mm-hmm. And from a business perspective, once I know that like, hey, my little girl's good, I'm good, my husband's good, my next priority is making sure that my clients are supported in like a 5-star experience. Like before we talk about getting more people on board, like let's serve the people who are here really above and beyond. And then let's ease in and bring more people on. So it'll be a journey. It'll be I'm sure that there will be moments of transition, but that's okay. That's okay. It can be messy. It can be messy.
Yes. And I love that. It just goes to show you have this mindset thing down. I love that. And you are going to do amazing. I'm so excited for you and your husband and to be able to follow along your guys' journey because it's definitely, this is such a beautiful testimony.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
No problem. So before we get off, please tell my listeners where they can connect with you and learn more about working with you.
Yeah. So I really hang out two places. I do have a podcast of my own, which Andrea is actually going to be a guest on my show as well, which is such a privilege of mine to have gotten to interview her and hear all your expertise on my show with podcasting. I love it. So my podcast is called the Bibles, Babies, and Business Podcast. And as you can see, the babies part is only now becoming fulfilled for me. So like that was like almost like a prophetic name that the Lord gave me for the podcast. I was like, I don't have a baby, Lord. And he's like, well, you will. So go ahead and name this the podcast. So it was called the Bibles, Babies, and Business Podcast. And then I also hang out on Instagram, and my Instagram handle is at cammie.wilke. That's CAMIE.WILKE.
All right. And I will make sure to link all of that in the show notes. Well, thank you again, Cammie, just for coming to talk to us about high ticket sales and really, you know, launching a successful online coaching business.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Well, Mama, that's a wrap on today's episode. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to hang with me. If you enjoyed today's episode, will you do me a favor and follow the podcast and leave a review? Hitting that follow button and sharing your thoughts about the podcast are the best ways to ensure that other mamas like you find this show. Your review also lets me know if you're enjoying this podcast, so make sure to share your thoughts before you go. All right, Mama, I'll catch you in the next episode.